Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for the privilege and honor to hear your word. Lord, I never get tired of praying that it is a privilege that we get to hear your word. So Father, I open my ears and I get my heart ready to receive from you. And I pray that we all do the same, Lord God, and we're ready to get the perfect seed that is the word of God into good ground. Let it be in good ground so that we can get the fruit that you promise. And so, Father, we pray right now for your word to absolutely come and divide and absolutely show us in every way what comes from you and what is not from you, Lord God, so that we get everything you have for us. And, Father, we pray for the persecuted church tonight and all those missionaries that are probably suffering somewhere, Lord God, that you would show them to be true and faithful this day. There's so many of them, and so your word commands us to do that. And we pray for the peace of Israel, God, that you continue to work in that sector of what's happening all over the world. We lift those to you. And, Father, we end by thanking you that we advancing one kingdom, and that is yours alone, alongside of many churches. We bless them as you have blessed us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen. Amen. So tonight, Pastor Dan charged me tonight with the word, and so I'm saying, okay, Lord, let's do this. And I have a word for you that God dropped into my heart about a month ago. I mean, I shared a little bit of it with our Spanish ministry, and so it is an idea that has been brewing in my heart, and I've been fighting through it because these times can get so crazy. And just to let you know tonight, we're talking about nothing can rob my joy. Nothing can rob my joy. Can you say that phrase? One, two, three. Nothing rob my joy. When you make a decision that way, it's such an important decision to make because you are telling yourself something that you are not going to allow in your circle and in your space. And it's so easy nowadays to allow that to happen. I mean, there's so many parties and events and the drive, and then you got to get stuff for your family, you got to stuff for someone else. And all these things can absolutely kind of damper the actual joy that the season is supposed to be. Are you with me today? The idea that Jesus came is it's supposed to be a joyful occasion. And we're going to look at verses regarding that understanding, but we have to know that. And the reason why people a lot of times don't feel joy is because joy and happiness have kind of married together in our society, but they're completely different. As a matter of fact, biblical joy has to do with a deeper satisfaction than circumstances. So happiness is circumstantial. I am happy if I have enough money in my account. I am happy if things are going well at home. I'm happy, whatever, right? Those things are circumstantial, but joy has a deeper meaning. There is a sense of calmness and peace in you that comes because there's a security around you. I just tell you something that is important. Even if you have a dog, dogs are very, for the most part, very joyful and very easy to please. They are so happy with their masters. They're so happy with who they live. And there's something in the dog. I was watching a documentary where they train some dogs to lay still, and so they put them in an MRI machine in order to see their brain activity. And it's so interesting, said every time the dog sniffs something that belonged to their owner, the area that, you know, there's an area of their brain that lights up immediately. That same area represents kind of their recognition of happiness and they're comfortable. And a lot of times, this is what we have to look. We have to find a thing that can light up that area in our life. If you've ever seen this scene, if you haven't, it's okay, but even in my own country, this is a very typical scene, and a lot of places in Latin America, some places in Africa, but a lot of kids find the greatest joy in the craziest places. When I was growing up, if you were to go to a poor area of my country, you would see a child playing with a tire and a stick. That's it. That's the toy. And it is very common in many areas of Latin America, and so when we would go visit or do outreach in from our church, we will find this. So there's a stick and there's a little plastic. This is actually a picture from the Dominican Republic. And it's art. That's a toy. Now, I want you to get this in your head. That child is absolutely joyful in this moment. But his surroundings are absolutely crazy. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Joy has nothing to do with what you're going through right now. Amen. Happiness might, but joy does not. And this is the idea I would go to these areas and I would visit, or when I do missions, and I would find these kids and they're having a blast. An absolute blast. I mean, they're just going up and down. They'll do a race, they'll push a stick, and so we would race with them, and they were just happy, and that was their toy. Now, I'm not showing this picture so you feel bad. I'm showing you this picture so that you get the idea and get a deeper understanding that we have to not allow our joy to be robbed by the things that are around us when we can find them satisfaction in many ways in our lives. We have to fight through that. And a lot of times, go ahead, you can praise God if you're going for it. And a lot of times we allow these things to rob us of that joy. Pastor Joel taught a message on gratefulness, and joy and gratefulness are hand in hand, and I recommend you look it up on our website at Sunday night a few weeks ago. And one of the definitions he brought that are similar to gratefulness and also joy are very interesting. It says the definitions that it does. Joy is important because it significantly improves physical and mental health, boosting your immune system, reducing stress, enhancing resiliency. Resilience means you can remain strong in difficult situations. Resilience, essentially making life more fulfilling and allowing us to better cope with challenges. In other words, happy, joyful people can endure very difficult situations. And it's so important for us to return to that thought, because that is exactly the message that the birth of Christ is supposed to bring. The idea is that, I don't know the movie very well, this is more of a U.S. context, but, the idea is that the season is not supposed to be the Grinch. And I think we've allowed the Grinch of the season to steal the joy of the season. Are you with me today? And it's so important for us to not allow that in our homes, in our lives, and the things we do, because otherwise we're going to lose this thing that we're going to grab, that we can have joy in everything we do. I love joy and I love laughter. Everybody down there knows me, knows I am up for a good laugh and I'm up for a good joke, because it changes absolutely everything you do. And I think a lot of times we are so serious with everything that we don't allow ourselves to enjoy life in the way God intended it. And it's so important for us to do that. And I'm not saying you're not going through tough things. Our family has gone through tough things this year, and it's so important for us. As a matter of fact, in my father-in-law's funeral, we laughed so much. We cried, and then the family went together, and we told stories, and everyone laughed because it was so joyful. One, because my father-in-law loved to joke around. And he had the corniest jokes you can ever think of. And so we call it in our family, when somebody does a corny joke, we call it a Walker joke, which is my wife's maiden name. It is so important for us to know that sometimes you just have to look at certain things in life and go, you know what, this is funny and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm just going to go ahead and laugh because God is doing something in it. Are you with me today? Let's go to Luke chapter 2. And here's a portion of the birth of Christ. And this is the announcement to the angels, to the shepherds. And I want you to look at this thought. You've already read it and known about it, but I want to refresh you. So the angel shows up and speaking to the shepherd and says, "Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them." So he was standing right there. "And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid." Anybody who sees an angel would be afraid. I mean, it's an absolute sight that you've never seen, that you're not accustomed to, and they were afraid. Verse 10, "Then the angel said to them," watch this, "do not be afraid." I love that. And every time an angel showed up, it did it to Mary, there are many occasions where he says, hey, don't fear. There's nothing to fear. I'm bringing you actually important news. And so don't be afraid. "Behold, I bring you good tidings of what joy? Great joy, which will be to" how many people? All people. The announcement of joy was meant for everyone, but not everyone is receiving the announcement. Are you catching what I'm saying? God said, "I'm bringing you joy for everybody," but not everybody's willing to receive the joy that God is offering. And it says, verse 11, for there is a born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this is so great, because Israel's situation did not change with the announcements. Let me repeat that. Israel's situation did not change with the announcements of the birth of Christ. They still remain under Roman control. They still remain in a very difficult situation. They still remain under the control of the religious system of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Everything remained the same. What changed and was about to change was actually the eternal condition of the human soul from that day on. And what God is saying is, there is a greater value in you than there is around you. There's a greater value in you than there is around you. And what we do sometimes in a progressive society like ours is we put value around us, but diminish the content of what we have in us. And God is saying, no, 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 you got to get it. You're so more valuable than all this stuff. I want to bring you joy. I want you to rejoice, even in difficult season, even in things that aren't. I want you to know I'm for you. I'm doing something. I am sending good tidings. I'm sending you a great message that will be great joy to you. And so when I flip my head, when I flip the message inside my soul, I start seeing God doing something in my life. I want to share with you four things on how to capture what joy does for us. And I want you to get that for this season. Here's number one, is that joy breaks away sadness. Joy breaks away sadness. It sounds so logical, but it sounds so difficult to do. Because when you're sad, you don't want to hear it. I mean, you don't want to hear it. And it's something, I think I've shared with you guys before, but I love either when things are difficult, you know what, I'll try to watch a comedy, I'll try to look at whatever, a comedian, something, because, not because I'm trying to numb myself, but because I'm trying to make sure that the sadness that's overcome me is not going to win what I have to do and how to move forward. And that is why gratefulness is so powerful, and when we talked about it, because gratefulness switches your mind to not be focusing on only what is negative. It absolutely helps you to not be overcome by all the things that are frustrating you. And you say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to give this to you. You know what, Lord? I'm going to do X, Y, Z. I mean, it is so amazing. Let's talk about driving. I mean, right now it is absolutely crazy, and I don't enjoy driving that much to begin with, and so especially long distances. But you know what? When I'm driving nowadays, I'm just going, you know what? I'm just going to take it easy. People, for whatever reason, blinkers, don't use gasoline. You can use it. It'll be okay, right? So nobody's putting on the signals. I don't get it, but you know what? Let's move on. And so it is just crazy what's going on around, but people are just in a rush. You go to the store and people are fighting over items and people are desperate for stuff when it's saying, hey, that's nothing to do. Joy breaks away sadness. Joy breaks away whatever is happening in your life. Maybe like, you know, at our table, there'll be somebody missing at our table this year. That might be the case in your case or whatever, unemployment, whatever you're going through. God has a way to say, hey, I want you to rejoice. Here's Psalm 126, and this is regarding the captivity. And we're going to see several verses around this. The children of Israel went into captivity for 70 years, and they were captured by Babylon, and they were once again slaved to another kingdom because they just could not obey God and stay steady. And so they go back again. And here's what the Lord says. 126:2 says, our mouth were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. And then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And so the writer of Psalms saying, we're going to laugh again and there's going to be joy. And people around us are going to know that something good is happening to us. Something good is happening to us. It's so important for us to remain joyful and to reflect it. This is a funny inside joke, but Pastor Joel and his family, he's my buddy, and so they were driving around my neighborhood because we do lights in my neighborhood a lot of times, and so he tells me the story, and I'm dying. I'm like, I've been so busy this season, like I've never been before, so I have no light. So they're driving around, and somebody says, oh, that's Pastor Paul's house. Oh, it's the only house with no lights on the street. You mean the pastor is not celebrating the birth of Christ? Wait, I've been busy. I'll put lights up in a minute here. And so we're just laughing, like, this is terrible. I'm supposed to be the example of the neighborhood, but I'm the only one with no lights on the streets. And so we were just laughing in general. But a lot of times when God is doing something joyful in you, it has to reflect in one way or another. And it has to be shown in a way. And laughter is an amazing, powerful thing. If you have a child, grandchild, if you've never watched this movie, I recommend you do. It's called Monsters, Inc. This is before all cartoons went woke. And so this is Monsters, Inc. is absolutely awesome. It's one of my favorites. And so when my kids were little, we watched Monsters, Inc. And so if you haven't watched the movie, the idea of the movie is they have a company of monsters that, one, they come out of the bed and closet and scare the kids. And when you scare a kid, they'll scream, and they'll capture the scream, and the scream gives energy to their town. That's how they collect energy. Well, these two guys, Sullivan and Mike Wachowski, or whatever his name was. Wachowski, there you go. And so these guys are hilarious. Billy Crystal. And so they go on. They're the team collecting all kinds of screams. And in one occasion, they go into a house And this child, this particular child, for whatever reason, follows them back to the portal, and it becomes a really big mess, and so they're going crazy. But in one moment, as they're doing this, they are trying to rescue her because she shouldn't be there. She laughs. And when she laughs, a big spike in energy shows. And all of a sudden, the story switches on how they're going to capture laughter instead of scream, because laughter was far more powerful than the screams and sadness was. And just a little cartoon. And that little cartoon was so powerful. The story is so important. We're telling children that they don't have to be afraid of monsters. And joy is actually very important and very energizing in every way. I don't know if you haven't laughed in a while, but I recommend you do. I recommend you do. I recommend you find a way to find something that brings you joy, but combine your joy with your laughter. And it absolutely changes everything. If you're too serious to laugh, we have a ministry for that. I'm just kidding. So Nehemiah is actually working to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem because they've been destroyed. This is part of the captivity process. They're coming to an end. They get destroyed. Nehemiah goes, you probably know the story if you've been in church long enough, but the story is that he goes back from the kingdom he was at serving, and he wants to help restore Jerusalem once again to his days. So his glory days, not all the way to where it used to be, but he wants to help out. So he goes and starts the process of rebuilding. In the process of rebuilding, they find the scrolls that were read in the temple, the different books that they have, the Pentateuch, the first books of the Bible. So they find these. And so he instructs the priest to read them to the people. They gather all the people in the day rest. They gather other people, and they start reading what the Word of God says for them. And it says the story that people started weeping and crying. They were heartbroken. They're like, oh my goodness, look what God wanted for us. And we went away from God. We sinned so bad. We're terrible. They're just feeling super bad. And Nehemiah says, wait, guys. I'm glad you're crying in a way because you're repentant. But I have a different way now that we've acknowledged our fault. Look at this. And he goes and tells them, very famous verse. He goes, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing. Prepare. This is part of Christmas. Share with somebody. By the way, my tamales count is kind of low, so I don't know who's making. I'm only at three. Chaplain Paul and I keep track. And it says, share with somebody. Now watch this. This is holy to our Lord. Watch what's holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your what? Let me say it this way. If you're trying to be holy and you're sad, you're doing it wrong. When you have an encounter with God's holiness, you should be repentful and you should be impressed. But everyone, you can read every account in the Word of God, everyone had an encounter with God's holiness, walked away absolutely impressed and in love with God. Even Isaiah, who said, I am a sinful man, I can't do, God said, it's okay, man, send an angel, touch his lips, help the guy out. God is not here to beat you up. Amen. Holiness is about recognizing who he is and wanting to change, and it should be a joyful process when I find holiness. This is what Nehemiah saying, okay, I get it, you're repentant, look what we're doing, now go back and be joyful, because that's going to strengthen you to face the day and share with somebody the joy of the Lord, because that takes away the sadness that can overcome your life. Are you with me? Very important, because I think a lot of people, as they get more holy or religious, they become bitter. And that's, I don't see that in the Word. I don't see that in Jesus. That was the thing he was pushing the Pharisees for. Like, hey, man, you guys bring converts and make them twice the son of the devil. Like, what is going on with you? Because they will bring them into a system that would break them instead of a system that would actually help them flourish following God. And that's so important for us, because joy is going to help me carry on in difficult times. Very important. Number two is this: joy is found in the promises of God. And you ought to know that when you read the Bible, when you're connected with the Word of God, the joyful moments, those things are found in the promises of God. And that's why it's important for us to read the Word of God. Do it on your phone, tablet, paper, whatever you need to do. You have to read the Word of God. I remember this. Pastor Dan shared this a few years ago when we were doing one of our prayer and reading the Bible campaign. We talked about that. John Bevere brought a study that he shared with us here, and then we share it again. The study says that people who read the Bible four times or more a week, their jump in satisfaction, joy, everything went away, if you read the Bible, at least four times a week. So when people read it one time, they improved a little. When they read it two times, they improved just a bit. But for whatever reason, when they did the study, when people went four or more times, it was astronomical how much they changed. Astronomical. They couldn't believe it, in the sense that it wasn't just, hey, they improved 10%. No, they went 60, 70%. They got rid of bad habits. They got rid of addictions. They became joyful people. They became peaceful people. Everything changed when people got into the promises of God on a consistent basis in their life. And I'm encouraging you today, get into the promises of God. It changes everything. Here's a few promises. Jeremiah 15, 16. He says about himself, says, your words were found and I ate them. Wow. And your words was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah saying, I found them and I ate them. It was nutrition to me. And that nutrition was actually joyful to me. Now I get it. You might say, Pastor, I read the Word of God and I fall asleep, or some parts of it are boring. Start asking the Holy Spirit to show you. Start asking, Lord, the Holy Spirit, speak to me. You know the things I read sometimes? I'm like, yeah, I don't quite get this one. So I pause until I get it. Lord, would you show me? How do I get this? And believe me, I've been pastoring a long time. I've been a Christian a long time. The Bible is a never-ending source of fruit for all of us. Never-ending source. You're not going to read enough Bible and go, yeah, I've read enough. Whoever does that is absolutely bananas. As a matter of fact, people who read, more they read, they're more like, I got to read more because I don't quite get what's going on here. That is the reality, because God is deep. God is deep. And so he's inviting us, man, something's going to change in you when you bring that joy into your life. Here's another promise that God gave the children of Israel from captivity. Isaiah 35, 10 in the New Living Translation says, for those who have been ransomed, if you have been ransomed, if you have been rescued by the Lord will return. So he's saying, I'm going to grab those that will return from the captivity. Look at this. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. Wow, the description is so amazing. God is saying, listen, Israel, I'm going to bring you back from where you were. And when you come, you're going to be singing. You're going to be rejoicing. There's going to be gladness in your life. Things are going to change when you're brought in by God. And we got to believe that. We got to believe that in our lives. Because when God rescues us, if we don't acknowledge the rescue, then the enemy can come in and actually sour everything that's happening in your life. And this is why it's important, especially when you're a new believer, to remember the experience and to continue in the joy of believing that God is doing something in your life. Otherwise, the enemy's going to come in and make things difficult. And he will, because he wants you out. And that's what happens to a lot of Christians. A lot of people give their lives to the Lord. Things become difficult. They become sour and frustrated. And then they walk away. Let me tell you, it is just part of the process. But if you find the joy in the process, then God is going to bring an amazing thing in your life. And that is so important, my friends. That is so important. And we all go through it. Every Christian, you can ask every Christian here, especially on the front row, who are mature, been Christians for many years, not all of our lives has been, oh, I'm happy, I'm joyful, I'm happy, yeah, everything's great. No. You got this mountain times, and you got some downs, and then that's just the process. God is always working. Here's what we don't allow. We don't allow the valley to control everything else we do, and we don't let the joy of the mountain determine how we're going to behave in the valley. Because that's immaturity. Maturity is, I always want to be happy and grateful and joyful and things are great and I'm happy when I have this and that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say something a little strong, but a lot of marriages, especially nowadays, end because people say, I'm not happy. Happiness is not part of the contract of marriage. Transformation is, love is, protection is, faithfulness is. Happiness is just a byproduct of seasons and moments. That's all there is. A few years ago, my wife and I went to Cabo, and we had an amazing time. I had some points. I was able to get a cheap trip, and so we went out, and it's great. But if I measure the rest of my marriage because we went on vacation together, that's going to be a difficult marriage. Right? And so we live for this moment. That's not what determined. It was fun because I went with my friend, I went with my wife, I went with the love of my life, and that made it fun. Just like when we get some tacos on the Rosa and the 210. No, but yeah. We don't do that. She's a white girl. Just kidding. And so it's so important for us to know, like, we can do that. We shouldn't determine what we're doing in the process just by. I'm not saying, Pastor, I'm in a miserable marriage and these things. Those are part of the process. But I want you to know, if you determine everything you're doing by just the bubbly feeling that you get, then you lose the consistency of joy. And the promises of God are always firm. They don't change. They're written down for us to go back over and over and over and over because they're constant. They're perfect. They're there all the time. And Jeremiah say, I ate them and they were joyful to me. And so I want to invite you to do that. Here's number three. Joy is attached to hope. Joy is attached to hope. I read a story that really captured me. And this story is very interesting. This lady lost everything. In a time of difficulty around Christmas, she lost all her money. They had some problems. And so her and her husband lost their money. They had a few kids. And she decided for Christmas dinner, she said, we're so broke. And she took all the jewelry she had, all the rings, the earrings, everything she had, and she pawned it and got enough money to put together a really nice dinner. And so she went and pawned it and started preparing a really beautiful dinner for her family. Now, her extended family started criticizing her. What are you doing? If you pawned, you should have kept that money, and you should have done this, and you shouldn't have done a dinner, and you should have that. And she said something so powerful to the family. She said, listen. Now is when we need joy and we need hope. So we're going to sit at the table, we're going to enjoy this dinner, and we'll figure out later as life comes on. And sometimes you have to set a table for yourself. Psalm 23 says, he sets a table before me in the presence of my what?
Enemies.
You know what God does? If you're having problems, I'm inviting you to dinner. I want you to have joy in your life, so we're going to sit together, we're going to break bread, and we're going to have companion, and we're going to grow together because that is so important. Joy is attached to hope. If you have no hope to attach it to, it's really hard to rejoice about something. And so people don't let go of the hope that you have in Christ, but get a hold of it so that the joy remains in the process. And so when we attach it together to hope, something happens in us. You are joyful when they give you hope. When you call and you know, hey, in 30 days, I'm going to get a loan for XYZ. You are hopeful and you are joyful. You know why? Because you have hope that what they told you was going to happen the way they told you. Right? All of us. If you don't, you're lying. Right? When they tell you, promise you something, you're absolutely excited because it's happening. When it doesn't happen, there's a big letdown. And there's a big frustration. And that is why our hope is attached to Christ, who is constant. Who is constant. He doesn't feed us and give us our wishes. He gives us the desires that are connected to his will. And so that brings joy into us. Look at the Message Bible. This is the word of God that he's giving to his disciples in John 16. And I love this. In John 16, let me tell you what's happening around it. In John 16, Jesus is telling the disciples what's going to happen to him. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to be persecuted, and then they're going to take me and kill me, but the same is going to happen to you guys. You're not going to see me no more. There's going to be persecution, and people are going to think they're doing the right thing by doing that to you. And so he's describing and saying, I'm going to go away. And the disciples are like, where are you going to go? What's happening? They're absolutely, you know, just sad and frustrated. And look at the words of Jesus regarding hope. And I love this. He says in the Message Bible, when a woman gives birth, she has a hard time. There's no getting around it. But when the baby is born, there is joy in the birth. Can the ladies say amen?
Amen.
If you had an epidural only. No, I'm kidding. You guys are like, I don't know what that is. No, it is happy juice for birthing. So then there's joy in the birth. Once it happened, the pain is forgotten. I mean, something changes in that life. And it's incredible. I've been privileged to see the birth of my three children. And I always tell my wife, I said, you are my hero every time you get. I mean, because she's a very tender, very mild personality. But when it came to having kids, man, she was something else. I was like, I would be afraid. But she was absolutely powerful and willing to face it. It was a different person. And I know there's hormonal changes and all these things, but Christ is describing something about that same moment. And he says this, the new life in the world wipes away memory of the pain. What a thought. He's saying when that baby comes, everything leading up to that moment is forgotten in the joy of receiving the baby. Something absolutely changes you. It transforms the way you see life. I mean, it changes everything. When we had our first child, it changes everything. Those who've had a child, your first child, that child that made you a dad, it changes the way you think. I mean, the moment that kid comes out, everything is like, wow, this is the moment. Not just I'm responsible for two, everything that comes with it, but man, that kid looks like me, that likes crazy, and I know how I was. I hope this kid's better, right? You got all these things going through your head. And it's so important when we see that, and he's saying, look at the joy, look at the joy. And then the sadness you have right now, he's telling the disciples, is similar to that pain. But with the coming joy, it is also similar. Jesus says, I want you to get something. The pain you're feeling now, when joy arrives, is the same way as giving birth. Whatever was happening goes away. And this is why being a joyful person is very crucial. Otherwise, you will stay in the frustration and the pain you're feeling all the time. And he's saying, no, it goes away. And then look at this. It says, when I see you again, Jesus is telling, when I see you again, you will be full of what? What is that word? Joy. Of joy. I'm going to see you again. You'll be full of joy. And look at this. And it will be joy no one can rob from you. No one can rob from you. And I love the next promise. You'll no longer be so full of questions. They'll get a moment when you face Jesus and you say, I have no more questions. Thank you, Father. We're just going to worship him. We're going to be at his feet. We're going to throw our crowns at his feet. It's not going to matter anymore. It'll be a moment of joy. It'll be a moment of transformation. And so the words of Jesus are so powerful as he's sharing this. It's so important for us to receive that and attach that to our reality. And for each one of us, when we attach hope to the joy that God is working in us, it's going to transform the way we think. And so when we allow that to happen, I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what painful situation you're going through, but I want you to know that receiving joy is so crucial. It's so crucial in every area of your life. And it's something I practice. It's not something, let me tell you, this is not who I was. I wasn't always this way. I've had to learn to become a joyful laughter person. I'm not necessarily a worrier, but I am very at the moment. I always want to solve a problem. I always want to move on to the next thing. And so that idea sometimes doesn't allow space for joy. I've had to force myself to say, you know what? No, I'm going to laugh. I'm going to enjoy family when I'm with my friends. I'm going to find a way to be joyful. As a matter of fact, you can take joyful sometimes the wrong way too, because I have to learn to like edit myself, right? You don't crack jokes at someone's funeral because you don't know what's going to happen there, right? So it's important to know, or as you were praying for us a couple Wednesdays ago, you don't crack jokes to a Mexican police while they're pulling you over. You keep it real and you keep it, you know, straight. Those were here a few Wednesdays ago. No, we got stopped in Mexico, so everybody's praying for us. But like Pastor Brian said, I made it across the border. Thank you, Pastor Brian. And so it's important for us to connect these two things so that we can absolutely just drive, even if it's not your personality. You say, you know what? I know this is not my personality. I'm more of a serious guy. Sometimes we take ourselves so serious that we don't allow joy to remain in our lives. And sometimes I am terrible. Sometimes at our leaders meeting with Pastor Dan, something might be serious. I don't know why. I cannot help but say something dumb just to laugh because I feel laughter helps through stressful situations. And it's just kind of my way to push through things a lot of times and just say, hey, you know what? We're going to figure this out, but here's something that we can say or do. And it's so important for us to know that because joy is crucial. Here's the fourth and the last one I want you to do with me, and we're going to go together to this. Joy comes when we pray. Joy comes when we pray. I want to end in prayer in a moment, but if you've never felt joy, you got to start asking for it. Got to start asking for it. If you say, Pastor, there are situations in my life that have robbed me from being a joyful person, you got to find a way to bring that back because it is a promise of God. As a matter of fact, it is a fruit of the Spirit. If you are a Christian and you're always sad, depressed, and frustrated, the fruit of the Spirit is not being lifted or birthed in you. And it's important. I'm not saying the Spirit is not in you. I'm saying that fruit, that particular fruit, because there's several of them, is not quite developing in you. Then you got to ask for it. Because if you already asked for the infilling of the Spirit, He's already in you. Now God needs to manifest that joy. You got to let it come through. And you're going to be put in a situation where they're tense situation, and you're going to have to find a way to be joyful through them. Are you with me today? Yeah. It's very, very crucial, very important, because if you don't ask and pray for it, then something is not going to happen and come through. Let me tell you a story. I think I've shared it before, but many years ago, I was in the Amazon jungle on the Peruvian side. And so we went to a town where my sister helped translate the Bible and train leaders there deep into the Amazon area, a few days by boat. And then after we got to that point, we took a smaller boat up a creek to make it to the tribe. I went on the first trip, and that was the hardest trip, because after that, they figured out some things, but I went on the first trip, on the exploratory trip. And so when we're up there, the day gets by us, and so the night starts to fall. So we're like, hey, we got to get on the boat. We're not going to sleep in the community. We have to ride back. So we get in our two boats. We're talking probably four or five, maybe six Americans, myself, a couple Peruvians. And so we jump on the boat, and so we're coming back with a family from the tribe that's guiding us. We're using what they call a flat bottom boats, right? So this is a metal boat that's completely flat because the water is really low in the summer. The Amazon River comes really low. In the winter, you go in the water, it's probably, 15, 30, 50 feet deep in some areas. Right now, the summer is really, really low. So imagine the weight of the boat. So we're traveling and things become really, really difficult. I mean, I'm talking difficult, gets really dark, really scary. You put your flashlight and all you see is red eyes from all the alligators. All this, it is absolutely bananas what we're going through. And so we're navigating this thing, mosquitoes everywhere. The trip becomes so difficult. What was supposed to be just a couple hours, it took us all night. I mean, I'm talking all night. We had no food. We had no provisions. One guy had a granola bar, and literally we cut it in small slivers just so we can get something. I'm thinking, nah, this is not going to do it, right? Not for me. Like Kung Fu Panda, I think I need more than universe juice to feel strong, right? And so he's, he gives us this thing, and so we eat the granola bar, and so we're just desperate. I am so tired, and so my job is literally to get the mosquitoes off of the guy that's our guide, because he's pushing the boat down the river. And so I'm swiping away all the mosquitoes from his feet. Poor guy. I get tired, switch with another guy. So I fall asleep there, and he has his family with us, and his daughter and her baby, and then his wife and like five, six kids, I don't know how many are, there's a bunch of us on the boat. And so I fall asleep. I wake up, I don't know when, but I wake up. I was just so exhausted, probably 4 or 5 in the morning. I wake up and everybody's laughing. I'm thinking to myself, well, somebody tell me the joke, because I don't know, I was out cold. And a guy on the boat named Frank, he said, you have no idea what you did, because you were snoring, and the kids have never heard anybody snore. They laughed all the way down. I said, I am glad that my disability is joyful to you. Right? So they made it all the way down. And so the kids had a blast. And so we made it all the way out of the river. We had breakfast at the bottom of the river. I thought to myself, how silly. My thing that, for us is like, why are you snoring? And this is a difficult situation. And a moment so tense, it was actually joyful to someone else that had never heard something like that. You don't know how God can use what you have. What you think might be the craziest thing, God is saying, you have no idea what you can do with that. You can bring joy to somebody. You can make a comment that can transform their life. That situation was so horrendous. And God made it joyful by some dumb thing that happened with all of us. Until this day, we tell that story. This is what God did for Israel. We started with Luke chapter 2, and I'll end it in Isaiah 61, which is the same promise that the angels are saying in Luke chapter 2. Same promise. He's repeating these words. And it says, the Spirit of God is upon me. And Jesus read Psalm 61:2 about himself. And this is about Jesus. It says, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening the prison to those who are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Now watch this. To comfort all who what? Mourn. It is God's desire to comfort you when you're in a difficult, sad situation. Verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Wow, he's giving you the solution for your sadness. He's saying there's oil, there's anointing when you're sad, and there's praise when you're heavy. And I love that. In my car, I blast music all the time because that removes it. So they may be called the tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified, that he may be glorified. And God is saying, listen, I have a solution for you, and I want you to ask me. And I'll end with this, and we'll pray together. Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul writes some advices. These verses are so short and quick. And he says in 1 Thessalonians, two verses back to back that are amazing. He says this, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. One right after the other, he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. So for Paul to write those two verses in that order, it's absolutely amazing to me. Because Paul is one guy who went through some crazy, crazy things. He actually tells the amount of suffering he went through, being left for dead a couple of times. I mean, the guy went through some, and he is the one who writes and says, I want you to do something. I want you to be joyful, rejoice always, but keep praying. Can we pray together? Can you ask the Lord right now, God, where have I lost my joy? Maybe you have joy. Maybe you have something you can share, but you haven't been bold enough to share with people. And the Lord's saying today, hey, it's time for you to do it. You don't have to be a comedian unless that's your calling. What God is saying is, what have you allowed to remove what I put on you? How about this? I've given you a solution. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Would you take that garment of praise and celebrate so that it's lifted off of you? Ask the Lord, Lord, show me. How do I connect with joy again? Maybe it has nothing to do with the season of Christmas. Maybe it just has to do with making 2025 a year that you were going to push through to get joy. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, you don't know what's happened to me, and this is why I'm the way I am. But God does. He knows what happened. And he can transform. He can encourage. He can change any situation. Let the Lord speak to you. I'll give you a few seconds there. God, we take your advice and your news. Your advice was that you are sending a good news, glad tidings of great joy. So this night, I pray for everyone listening to this message that we connect with the message you sent through your angels to everyone, to all people, that you're sending good news so that we may have joy. And tonight we receive that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You give God a praise if he spoke to you tonight. Pastor Dan.
Amen. Wasn't that a great word tonight? I tell you, man, you know, Pastor Jimmy used to make us do something. I think I'm going to make everybody do it, Pastor Paul. Everybody say this. Say ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. He, he, he. Now give the Lord a praise. Aren't you glad? Aren't you happy? Rejoice. Love that. Absolutely love that. Hey, tonight, why don't we rejoice as we prepare our hearts to give and bring our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse of God. Come on. To rejoice is a choice. And so that's why we celebrate when we give, because we know that God has good things in store. And so I want to show you the last missions update of the year. This is what you guys are involved in parts of the nations. You're going to hear some great testimonies. And just because we're joking and having fun, you haven't heard from Pastor Paul enough tonight. So check out the overhead screens for the last missions update from Pastor Paul.
Hi, Rock Church. Pastor Paul here. I just want to bring you the last update of 2024 for missions. We've done such an amazing work around the world. Let me just tell you, over $200,000 have been invested in global and world missions from the Rock Church. And that goes to your account in heaven, according to the Word of God. And I just want to say thank you. You've done such an amazing job by investing in the kingdom of God. One of the things we do is that we connect with local missionaries in the countries they're working in. And we've worked in so many nations, from Mexico to India. to Bangladesh, to Germany, and more than 150 countries through the International School of Ministry. All that is done from the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Here's a few testimonials of what we've done this year.
Hey, Rock Church, this is Josh Muse. I'm the director of Kaleo International here in Reynosa, Mexico. I want to tell you thank you so much for your support of Kaleo and the work we do here in Mexico, not just in Mexico, but in other parts of the world. So thankful to you, and we hope to see you soon. May the Lord bless you greatly.
Hi, my name is Al Fury. Several things that we do in Peru are, one, we feed the poor, because there's massive poverty across Peru. Secondly, we teach, train, and educate pastors of all kinds of denominations on how to grow their churches. So once again, thank you for what you're doing. This is a great, great mission field, and God is doing amazing, fantastic, wonderful things.
Hello, church. My name is Zhenya Kasevich. My wife and I, we do the ministry called Kasevich International. Our whole focus of our ministry is to help those people in the war situation. We were able to supply them with everyday needs through our ministry. You have been wonderful in supporting our hands so we could do what only Zhenya and Vera could do in this situation. Thank you, Rock Church, and stay blessed.
So, Rock Church, thank you so much for everything you've done throughout the year. I always like to share this verse, which is the Apostle Paul says, because you gave, there's an account in heaven of what you've done for others in missions. God bless you.
Amen. I want to make this declaration with you. You don't have to stand. You can just stay seated. But let's say this on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. I give to build the kingdom of God. We are a local church with a global heart and desire to see people saved here in the Inland Empire as well as all over the world. We declare open doors into nations, resources, wisdom, and grace for missionaries, churches, and people blessed both physically and spiritually, and open hearts to receive the gospel. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate as we give tonight? If you're in need of an envelope, you can buy cash or a credit card. The ushers are standing at their feet. They have one of those available for you by simply raising your hand, and you can just fill out the information on the inside. And then all the different ways to give are up on the overhead screens. Also, if you're making out a check, make it out to the Rock Church. And we're just so grateful to be in ministry partnership with you guys, advancing the gospel here in the Inland Empire as well as all over the world through our missions programs. And that's why we're the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. It's because we're reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Let me just pray over your offerings. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we bless your name tonight, God. We thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to give, to sow into nations, God, sow into the gospel. And Lord, as this word goes forth, God, we pray that it's fruitful. And God, we know that that, like Pastor Paul said in the video, is going to our account in heaven. And so, God, we're rejoicing and we're grateful, God. But Lord, I know also that times are tough. There's many needs in the house. And so I pray that you bless your people, God. You supply for all their need, God. We thank you, Father God, for the sower, God, that you supply and multiply the seed that they've sown and bread for food. So, God, I thank you for an abundant supply for your people. In Jesus' name, we're all in agreement. We say amen. Amen. Hey, we got a couple quick announcements as the ushers receive the honoring of the Lord. Everybody say Tuesday night. Oh, come on, say it again. Say Tuesday night. We're going to be here at 5 p.m. celebrating on Christmas Eve. That is our communion service, and so we invite you guys to come be a part of that. It is our candlelight communion. It's beautiful. It's heart-touching. It's a wonderful way to prepare your hearts. And so come and join us 5 p.m. Then you can go and be with your family afterwards and then celebrate Christmas Day together with family. Offices will be closed throughout the week. And so, you know, if you need prayer or need someone to talk to Jesus, all right? You can pray for yourself, and then we'll be back. You can always put in prayer requests on the website as well. But know that we love you guys, and we never take a break from praying for you guys and thinking about you guys. And then the following weekend, so this weekend is Christmas weekend, and you'll see a video about that in a moment. But the following weekend, we have Apostle Mike Keyes. He is one of our missionaries to the Philippines, and he's just an amazing man of God. He's got a mighty word for you guys. And then that Sunday evening, he's going to be having a healing service. And so if you're sick in your body, you know someone that's sick in their body, bring them that Sunday night, and he's going to pray for the sick, and they will. will be healed. You know, Apostle Mike is a church planter. And I love how the Apostle Paul said that the signs of an apostle were done in your midst. Miracles, signs, and wonders. And you're going to see that Sunday night if you come and be a part of what God is doing. We see people that are healed miraculously. We have testimonies that come in. And so be a part of the miracles that are going to take place here at The Rock. That's all I got. Like I said, we've got a quick video announcement. Actually, two videos for you guys. And then Pastor Paul will be right back.
Hey, Rock Church family. It is the most wonderful time of year because it is Christmas time and we want to celebrate this season with you.
Christmas weekend services will be taking place on Saturday, December 21st at 10 a.m., Sunday, December 22nd at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1:30 p.m. in Spanish, and a special Christmas Eve candlelight communion service happening on Tuesday, December 24th at 5 p.m. Be sure to stop by the inner foyer to grab your invite cards to invite those in your life to join us for Christmas at The Rock. Merry Christmas.
My favorite part about this school is that I get to see my friends every day, and they've learned new things too, and I have
too. To see them on their own amongst their peers, learning to grow and begin to develop a love for God and for His Word and just for all the things that God would want us to do as Christians, it's just been something very tremendous, and I'm beyond blessed to be able to witness that in my own child.
Learn, grow, and thrive in a godly environment. The Rock Christian School is now enrolling K through 12th grade. Apply today at rockchristianschool.com.
Come on. That's good. Get all that information. There's so much always happening here. Check our website. There's a lot of events and things coming up around this time, but we're always working for you. Hey, before we go out tonight and, you know, you get your youth or your child, I want to make sure that everyone is okay with God. And the question I always like to ask is this, because that can happen to anyone at any point. If death were to knock at your door and you open, would you be in heaven or would you be in hell? And it's a question people don't want to ask themselves, and for whatever reason we assume that talking about hell is a non-loving conversation, but it's completely the opposite. It's actually a loving conversation. And Jesus, who talked more about hell than anyone else in the Bible, He's the one that loved us the most. The Bible says that He came to die for us so that we can have a relationship with God. And so many times people say, well, Pastor, I get that. I know the story. I mean, I've watched the movies. I'm in a Christian country. And so we see all today, all plaster on websites and social media, Christ is King. And people may say these things, but they may not live as if God and Christ is their King. And so tonight I want to give you an opportunity to actually make Jesus your Lord and Savior. What am I saying with that? You're saying, God, You are in control of my life. You are leading my life from this day forward. And that's an important thing, because people assume, Pastor, I'm a decent person. I mean, I don't rob anybody. I just, you know, I'm not perfect. Nobody is. But, you know, I know about the religion, but I don't, like, follow it, all that. So, therefore, if I know something and I'm in a Christian country, that assumes that I'm going to heaven. None of that is actually in the Word of God. None of that. And so we just make up things that society has said. Here's what Jesus says. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So he's saying no person can have access to God the Father if it's not going through Jesus Christ. And those are his words. And that's important for us to know so that we can make a decision tonight that is concerning your eternity and Jesus. Is another one, Pastor, you know what? Because I understand these things, and I used to go to a church, and so I don't go every time, but because I used to go, then therefore I'm going to heaven. Church attendance does not make you a Christian. And so there are good people who attend Easter and Christmas. They go to service, they recognize Christ those days, and so they assume themselves to be followers of Christ. But that cannot be further from the truth. And my job tonight is to tell you the truth, that you can evaluate your life for what the Bible actually says. Here's, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to make a decision. Here's the decision I'm asking you to make, the decision that Jesus is asking us to make. In a moment, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to clap my hand, and you raise your hand right where you're at. I'll see your hand, you put it right back down, and then I'm going to invite you to pray to ask Jesus and invite them into your life. Pastor, raising my hand, making a prayer. That sounds weird. I'm not sure. Can we just do a quiet prayer here and just leave it as is? Here's what God doesn't want. God does not want, Jesus doesn't want people who play the religious game. Here's the religious game. I went to church, I did my thing, and I left. He's saying, hey, you need to be bold. You need to make a decision for your life. And that starts today. That starts with a bold decision saying, I want that. Here's what Jesus says, not me. Jesus says, here, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. But if you deny me, if you say, I don't have to do that, but I'm not going to do that. Jesus says, I will deny you. He doesn't want to deny anybody. He already paid the price for you and I. Here's what he wants. He wants you to be bold and say, God, I'm in need of you. And if the message spoke to you tonight, God is speaking to you tonight, then you raise your hand and we'll pray together. Who should raise your hand tonight? I don't know if you're here. I don't know how many are here, but he knows. The Spirit knows and you know. And you should raise your hand. If you've never done this, tonight is your night. How about this? If you know right where you're sitting, that God's speaking to you right there, you're saying, that's for me, then you raise your hand and you give your life to the Lord. How about this one? How about this one? If you prayed at one time, Pastor, I did that prayer, but your life did not follow what you said with your words, then I recommit yourself to Christ and begin a new life with him. That's what God is speaking to you. And you can pray with us too from your house this night. And in a moment, I count to three and we'll pray together. Ready? Ready? Evaluate your life. Is that you? Is God speaking to you? One, two, three. Is there anyone in this place? This is your moment of salvation. Say, God, I am in need of you. I'm in need of you this moment. That's what he's asking. She's saying, hey, it's my moment. God's speaking to me. Then you give him all your life and all your heart. This is your moment of salvation. Thank you, Lord. It's a moment of your boldness to declare the need of Christ. I'll give you 60 seconds. And in a moment, we'll close in prayer. But I want to make sure that everyone here gets that opportunity. That's your moment. If you're saying, hey, maybe I'll do it tomorrow, don't save it for tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow brings. And I don't know why I'm saying that, but that's for somebody tonight. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Tonight is the night of salvation. That's what the Bible says. So if there's anyone here, this is your moment. I have 30 more seconds for you. Thank you, Lord. This is your moment of salvation. It's crazy because I feel in my spirit there's five of you. Five people sitting tonight in this auditorium saying, I know that's for me, but I don't know if I can do that. Well, God is asking you. And he's inviting you to make that decision. My job is to give you the opportunity. And in a moment, we're going to pray together. This is your moment. Just pop your hand and go, Pastor, that's me. God's speaking to me. I got to change my life. Thank you, Lord. You're pointing at me. When you wave at me, I see you. Absolutely. The young ones can. God, speak to them. Absolutely. One bold life. I see you. God bless you. Absolutely. They're pointing at me this way. Oh, I see you. God bless you. Good job. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. He loves you. He doesn't want to embarrass you. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I'm trying to give you an opportunity for a life change. And it begins tonight. Yeah, you can walk. Children can come too. Awesome. That's four. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? This is your moment of salvation. Five, six, I don't know, however many, but I knew at least up to five. God spoke to me. I'm giving you an opportunity to say, you know what? I'm not going to play with God anymore. This is my moment. Last call. Last call. That's you. Don't put him away. Don't say tomorrow. Don't say later. Don't say maybe in a different place. Tonight is your night of salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right, let's give God a praise for those four beautiful hands. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. I want to pray with you. Our team wants to pray with you. Here's why the team is important, because you're a baby. You're a spiritual baby. We want to help you grow. And we want to pray with you. In a moment, we're all going to stand. When we all stand, don't leave anything on your seat. Make your way out here. Come with your family and let's pray together. Let's stand and let's welcome them as they come forward. Come on, even if you didn't raise your hand, and you know God is calling you, just make your way out of your seat. Bring the young ones too if they want. Absolutely. Say, you know what? I'm not going to play around with you, God, anymore. Even if you didn't raise your hand, but you know God's speaking to you, make your way down. Don't worry about it. You're not going to spill popcorn on nobody. This is not the movies. Just say, hey, I'm on my way. We'll wait for you. We'll wait for you. God bless you, man. Good call. Good job. Come on, whole family, absolutely. Anyone else? anyone else, is your moment of salvation. Just say, God, I'm coming. Don't hold anybody back. If they're wanting to, go with them. Say, I'm going to go with you, man. I'm going to go with you. God bless you, family. God bless you. This is your moment of salvation, absolutely. I did it when I was young, too, and I know that feeling of God speaking to you. God is doing something in your life. Thank you, Lord. How wonderful. God bless you. Thank you. God is so good. Thank you. Thank you for making the space. Would you give me 30 more seconds? I just feel God is speaking to a few more of you guys. And so I'm going to talk to them in a minute so we can pray together. But if you're standing there and you know God is speaking to you, don't put them aside. This is, like I said, not a movie theater. You're not going to spill somebody's drink and just say, hey, I got to get out of the row. I got to go forward. This is your night of salvation. Would you just come? Just say, you know what, God? I've heard your word. I'm putting aside. And I just believe the word tonight was actually for a couple of you guys who need to give their hearts today. You are living in frustration. And God is saying, I'm offering you joy if you trust me. I'm offering you joy if you trust me. This is your moment of salvation. Just get out of your seat and say, you know what? I need that. I need Christ. Thank you, Lord. More seconds, and then we'll pray. God bless you, man. God bless you, man. God is on your side. I'm waiting just because God won't release me, so I'm going to wait till he does. See, speaking to you, you come forward, but I'm going to move forward. All of you guys that are here, man, even the young ones, you're about to pray. And in a moment, gentlemen, too, in a moment, we're going to pray together. This prayer is not magical words. The Bible says that he hears your word, but he sees the honesty of your heart. And that's where he begins, with the honesty of your heart. He'll start something. If you're saying, today's the day, man, I'm making a change with the help of Christ. And that's what you're doing. Let's pray together. Repeat after me. Father God, I repent of my sin. The wrongdoings I've committed against you. But this day, I want to live for you and I want to walk with you. So fill me with your Holy Spirit. From this day forward, I will serve you and no one else. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on. How awesome. Listen, if you've never done this, give us the time. Pastor Joel, one of our pastors, and his team, he's going to do a couple of things. We have age-appropriate material. What is it? It'll teach you how do you get strong in this walk with Christ so that you don't go back. How do I get that joy? How do I get that direction that I need to stay in the things of God? He will walk you through that. It'll take 5 minutes of your time. He'll offer you a friend, call an SPTU, spiritual personal trainer, and then you can come right back with your family. So follow him over there. Get that information completely free. He'll pray with you. God bless you, man. God is doing something in your life. God bless you. Come on, give God a praise. Always so encouraging. God is so good. God is so good. So faithful. Listen, don't give away your joy. Don't let anything rob it from you. No matter what, no matter how terrible the gift is on Christmas, you know, man, I spent $400 on these dumb, and these guys just give me this terrible thing. Don't worry about it. Bless them. Don't call them dummies. Just bless them. As a dad, a lot of times we're like, we have everything we possibly want. And our kids are so grateful. They're always trying to get us stuff. The funniest thing and the most joyful thing is my wife will take them all the time to the 99 cent store when they were little. And they would get a couple of items from the 99 cent store. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun. Here's why. Because it's not about the gift. It was always about being together, being with family, being with friends, receiving, talking about Jesus, celebrating him. So put all that aside and say, I'm not going to let anything rob my joy. I won't give it away to the traffic. Amen. Pray for your pastor. Pray for me. Because I hate traffic, but God is doing something amazing. Can I bless you tonight? Raise your hand right where you are. Father God, thank you so much for this beautiful people. These are your children. So I bless them today from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. May they be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Blessed coming and going, and everything they put their hand to, it will prosper, because that's what your word says. And we say tonight about our Inland Empire that the Inland Empire shall be saved. God bless you.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers, to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.